goldfish. Let's see if you're right. Here we go. Now then, to be a bit careful when I move him. There we go, this. He'll calm down once the water settles. This is Barry the goldfish. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about me and Barry. I love Barry very much. I love Barry lots and lots, and I wanted Barry to be happy, so I created this wonderful home for him to live in. It's got everything he needs. It's paradise. It's goldfish heaven. And I do lots of things to show that I love and care for Barry. So every day, I give Barry some food, like this, which personally I don't find very appetizing, but he, you know, it's just what he wants. So we give him some food like that. And I make sure he's got nice clean water to live in. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. And I make sure he's got enough oxygen. And I even clean up his mess when he makes a mess in the water. I mean, that's love and devotion right there, isn't it? But do you think that Barry notices all the things that I do for him? Do you think he says thank you? No, he doesn't. Barry never seems to notice. In fact, I sometimes wonder whether he even realises that I exist at all. It's very sad. I know. Do you think I should talk to Barry and tell him how much I love him? Do you think that would help and that he might notice me? Let's give it a go. Barry. Barry, I love you, Barry. I'm Matthew. Will you be my friend? It doesn't seem to be having much of an impact, does it? Do you think I need to be a bit louder? Barry! I love you! I want to be friends! He's just oblivious. Right, I've got another idea. This will surely work. What else could I try? How else do you think I could communicate with Barry and tell him how much I love him? If I can't speak to him, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? I could do what? Talking fish language. Ah, that's a good idea. That involves lots of learning to talk in fish language, but we might try that later. I've got a simpler solution first. How about I write to him and write a little note? In fact, I mean, I could try and write it in fish language. Hopefully this is universal. So I've got a little note here. Let's drop it in. Hopefully it'll sink for a start. Let's see whether he reads it. There we go. Are you reading it, Barry? He's looking in the opposite direction. He's just ignoring my writing and everything I do. I don't know why people are laughing. I don't think there's anything amusing about this demonstration at all. So I don't know what to do. I've tried talking to him. I've tried writing a word, and he's ignoring it. So what do you think would happen? Who do you think he'd listen to? In fact, we had an idea that we need to talk in goldfish language. I think actually he needs to talk to another goldfish, doesn't he? If there was another goldfish who could talk to him, he'd be able to understand. So do you think maybe I should try and turn myself into a goldfish to talk to Barry? I'm sure that's what everybody wants, isn't it? Yeah. So, here we go. So, what do you think in this completely serious illustration I'm trying to demonstrate here? Can you remember the memory verse that I taught you earlier? It's the word. Yeah. So this is me trying to demonstrate, obviously, the first part of the word of God becoming flesh. And we're going to remember the fact that at that first Christmas, God came down to earth as one of us so that we could understand him better. And in the past, God had spoken to mankind in lots of different ways through the prophets and through his word, and we ignored him. So in that latter day, he came as Jesus so that we would understand him. The word became flesh. Anyway, I'm going to take these off now for the time being. So that's the first part of this message. We're going to pick it up in a little while, but we're now going to sing another song, which is We Worship a Wonderful Saviour, and think just about how amazing the Saviour is who we've seen. Thanks. Your seats. So, now that, I don't know, do I need to put the goldfish mask back on? I probably do, don't I? Gosh, the things you do. Right, here we go. Now that I've become flesh and become like Barry so that I can tell him how much I love him and how much I care for him, what do you think I need to do to talk to him? I can't do it all the way from over here, can I? I need to go and go down where Barry is. I need to live with him. Maybe if I make my home with Barry, he'll see that I'm just like him, and then he'll trust me and he'll listen to all the things that I say. Now, I want you to imagine that this whole church is underwater. We've gone into the fish tank. There we go, in this immersive 3D simulation. And I'm going to make my home. Now, this is where I might need you to assist me, but we'll see. Right, which way is the door? Yeah, here we go. I'm going to come and make my home among all the other fishes. Thank you. Like that. So if I come and make my home down here, I don't know if you can still hear me in here. Do you think that now Barry will listen to me and understand the things that I'm telling him? What do you think? No. Let's try. Ah, here's Barry. Here he is, Barry. It's great to meet you, Barry. I love and care for you loads, and I've come down, I've made myself like you. I've come down to live among you so that you'll understand who I am, and oh, all this effort, and I give up. I give up. There we go. So, this is what happens, you know, modern technology and all that. So it just goes to show that even when God comes down or came down to live among us, not everybody listens. Now we're at the point that I think the Sunday school children are going to come up and share a song with us before we then proceed with the next part of our talk. So yeah, if the Sunday school would like to come up. So for the very last bit of audience participation, could you try and remember the memory verse and all say it together? The word. Marvellous. I promise you that's the last thing you'll have to say out loud or do in this service. So we've seen God's glory in Jesus. That's what the Bible says, that 2,000 years ago, that God came to earth in the form of a man, Jesus. And it says that when we see Jesus, we really do see the glory of God. Elsewhere in the Bible, John, who wrote that verse, also wrote this. We are writing to you about something which has always existed, yet we actually saw ourselves and we heard. Something which we had an opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands. And yet, as we know now, was something of the very word of life himself. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it. We were eyewitnesses of it and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with God the Father, which actually became visible in person to us. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. We must write and tell you about it because the more that fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. So wasn't Barry ungrateful for all those wonderful things that I did for him? I provided his home, his food, his comfort and his care, and he ignored me. And then I became like Barry and I went down to live how he lived, and he still ignored me. Can you think of anyone who is like Barry the goldfish in regards to Jesus? Can you think of anyone like that? Well, I think we are sometimes, aren't we? We can often be like that. The Bible says that, like Barry, we weren't born with a knowledge of God. Barry was inside his little fish tank. He didn't know what was going on outside. He didn't know that I existed. And that's what we're like. We're born without a knowledge of God. And the Bible says that the only way that we can know God is if he reveals himself to us. And if he speaks to tell us who he is. And the only... To point out, in my illustration, it's kind of a slightly poor illustration because, as was pointed out, I don't speak goldfish, so there wasn't really any way to understand each other. It was a bit of an unfair illustration. But God is totally different because he can speak to us clearly. A lot of people sometimes seem to think that God isn't clever enough to speak to us in a way that we can clearly understand. But I find that rather funny because if God is clever enough to create the whole universe and the world that we live in and all the animals and the plants and the fish, doesn't it make sense that he is clever enough to talk to us in a way that we can clearly understand? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God has spoken to us in the past to tell us about himself and to tell us just how much he loves us. That doesn't mean that you'll hear God's voice speaking directly to you, necessarily, although occasionally in history he has spoken to certain men and women and they've written it down. And in fact, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a book all about all of the things that God has told us about himself. The Bible says that God can speak to us. But the problem is that we don't listen properly. First, he revealed himself through the prophets, people like Moses and Abraham. But people didn't listen to God through them. And then he came like Jesus came. God came down in Jesus to speak to us directly 2,000 years ago. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. So God came as Jesus, but did people listen to him? What do you think, children? Did people listen to Jesus? No, some people did, but most people didn't. Some people came to start with, whole crowds came to hear him, but most of them, when they'd really heard his message, they didn't like it and they just ignored him. And that's why Jesus Christ's life ended with him being killed, because people ignored him and people rejected him. He came because God so loved the world that he would send his one and only Son so that people would not perish but have eternal life. And we ignored him and rejected him. We are like that sometimes, aren't we? Even as Christians, as Christmas approaches, it's so often... so easy to push God out of the picture. And maybe if we're honest, we're like that all the time, aren't we? We can just ignore this God. We can think that the whole of our lives is everything that we can see is all that there is. We can't see that there's something bigger and greater outside the goldfish bowl that we live in. And in 1 John from verse 9, it says this: "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And so my question for you this morning, boys and girls and men and women, is this: what more does God have to do for you to take notice of God and to listen to what he says? How much more is it going to take for you to notice God and listen to what he says? God has created this world that you live in. He's given you everything that you have. He's given you food and clothes and a home and family and friends. But that isn't everything you need. There's one thing missing, the most important thing of all, and that's a loving, living relationship with God himself. God has been speaking to you all your life and trying to tell you how much he loves and cares for you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, into the world to save you. And perhaps this morning God's speaking to you, trying to tell you that today you should listen. Listen when he tells you that he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to rescue you from your sins. Listen when he tells you that Jesus is God. Listen when he tells you to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. Listen when he says, open your hearts to receive Jesus. Listen when he says, believe in Jesus' name, that Jesus is the great God who came to earth as a baby in a manger, who came to die on the cross for you. Don't ignore him. Call out to him. If you've never done so, do it this morning or this week. Don't ignore him. And call him into your life so that you too will become part of God's family, one of his beloved children. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you loved the world so much. You loved all of the people in it. You loved us that much that you had sent Jesus to come and save us. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see. I pray that what we've seen this morning is helpful to illustrate the point, but I pray that we would go home not remembering particularly Barry the Goldfish or any of the other illustrations, but that we would remember that Jesus came to earth as a baby and he came to save us because he loved us. And I pray that we would open our hearts to receive him this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we're just going to close with one final song, "You're the Word of God the Father."